We had left off last time in the middle of Tera Reish Samach Vav. So we'll finish off what we left off and we'll pick up from there. V'zeh b'chinas Shavuos, right? That's what we're up to. Rabbi Nizal says, v'zeh b'chinas Shavuos. Rabbi Nizal, up until this point in this Tera, was talking about the Yontif of Sukkos. And Rabbi Nizal said that Sukkah, the mitzvah of Sukkah, helps protect animals from dying before it's their right time. And Rabbi Nizal explained that Sukkah was a concept of Bina, which is called Ima de Mesakha Benahon, a mother who protects, who hovers over her children, protecting them. And Bechinas Eim La Bina Tikra, mother is Bina, so Sukkah is Bina. And Rabbi Nizal gave a whole explanation about how that's Mesugo for helping a person build a house and certain other things. Rabbi Nizal says now, V'zeh Bechinas Shavuos. Everything that we said up until this point about Sukkahs also applies to Shavuos. Ki Shavuos v'sukkos heim echad, because the yantif of Shavuos and Sukkos are both one. Ki ha-Toyro yoytzas mi bina, shehi b'chinas Sukkah. We know that the Torah comes from bina, which is Sukkah. Kamei shekosav, as the Pasuk says, Mishlei shma b'nei musaravicha v'al titoish toiras imecha. The Pasuk says, don't turn away from the Torah of your mother. Bechinas Eim Labina, Shehi Bechinas Sukkah, Shehu Bechinas Sukkah. So we see that the Torah comes from Bina. You'll know that's why Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven. He spent 40 days and 40 nights in heaven before receiving the Torah, because Ben Arboim Labina, 40 symbolizes Bina, and the Torah came from Bina. This is an expression that's used many, many times, a term that's used many times in the Sifrei Kabbalah, that the Torah comes from Bina. Note, Torah is Tiferes, Talmud Torah, which is the Vav of Hashem's name, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, which comes from Shavuos. So Shavuos is also associated with Sukkos, which is a concept of Bina. Rabbi Nizal says, V'al Kein, take of Achar Sukkos u'Simchas Torah. Now we understand the association between Simchas Torah and Sukkos. Ki mibechinas Sukkah misham yoytzas ha-Torah, because it's from the concept of Sukkah, which corresponds to the sphere of Bina, from there comes forth the Torah. Note, the Torah was given on Shavuos, which corresponds to Bina, the 50th degree, Shar HaChamishim, which is Bina. So Rabbi Nizal says, just as the Torah was given on Shavuos, which is Bina, that's why Simchas Torah, the completion of the Torah, the Seal HaTorah, also comes from Bina, from Sukkah, which is Bina. Nimtza al yidei shenichnesu b'sukkah, through the fact that the Yidden go into the sukkah, nasim bi'atzmon b'chinois ha-Torah. The Yidden themselves become a b'china of the Torah, ki misham yoytzas ha-Torah kanal. Because the Torah comes from Bina. So a Yid going into the sukkah symbolizes like the Torah itself, which comes forth from Bina. V'oz mascheles ha-Torah shu bereishis. That's when we begin the Torah, from bereishis. Bechinois bayis. The word bereishis refers to a concept of a house. Hainu bayis the beis de bereishis. The letter beis of bereishis refers to a house. Bayis reishis. The first thing that a person has to do, the first mitzvah in the Torah, pru revu, refers to building a house. Bechinois v'yakov nosasu koiso v'ayivim leibayis. This corresponds to what the Pasuk says, Yaakov Avinu traveled to Sukkos, and he built a house. First we go into the Yontif of Sukkos, and from Sukkos we get to Simchas Torah, where we begin the Beis of Bereishis, that Bayis Rabosi, that Beis Rabosi, the big Beis, which stands for the Beis, or from the Bayis Sivan. This is the concept of the month of Sivan, in which the Torah was given. We'll see in a minute what that Beis stands for, and what the Gimel stands for. That was the time that the Torah was given to Bnei Israel. Roshei Tevois, and the word Sivan is the Roshei Tevois of the Pasuk, V'yakov nosa sukoiso, v'yivem le'bayis kanal. This Pasuk which we said, which connects sukois and bayis. Now let's take a look for a minute at the beis and the gimel on bottom. Tzoruch leimar Sivan b'yud vav. The word Sivan should not be spelled Samach Vav Vav Nun. It should be spelled Samach Yud Vav Nun. Ki chein mavur b'shulchan aruch Evan Ezer, simen kuf chavav siv zayim. That's how it's explained in Evan Ezer, where it talks about writing a ksuba, and there it tells you the spellings of the months, the proper spelling of the months, and Sivan is supposed to be spelled Samach Yud Vav Nun. What Rabbi Nizam means to say here, Rabbi Nachman Shigurin Zal says, is the posuk zeh merumos inyan Sivan shnei pa'amim. In this posuk, we have the term Sivan hinted to twice. In this posuk, v'yakov nosa sukoiso va'even leibois, we have a remez to the month of Sivan twice. Why? Ki v'yakov nosa sukoiso roshei teibois Sivan. The first letters of the words V'yakov nosa sukoiso make up the word Sivan. How? Hainu vav yud shel V'yakov. Of the word V'yakov, we don't just count the vav. The vav is extra there. The vav is an extra letter. The real first letter of the word Yaakov is yud. So you have the yud, which is a first letter, and an additional vav. So in the word V'yakov, you have vav yud. Nosa sukoiso is nun samach. Ki havov enoi mefareish hateva. The vav doesn't explain the word at all. Yeah, you know, to make it count for that word. V'chein roshei tevos sivon. The first letters of nosa sukoiso vayiven is again sivon. Vayiven, the vav is again an additional vav. You have the vav yud of vayiven and nosa sukoiso. V'gamkein kanal. Period. That was one item. Then the other item on the letter gimel that we have there, Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal is. Okay, so Sivan is the month of Matan Torah. But Nachman Shigurin, Rav Nosson says, so, Vayiven, so Sibayis make up the word Lev. Lev, Zu HaTorah. The letters Lamed Beis stand for the Torah. Ki Beis mi Bereishis, Lamed mi Le'enei Kol Yisrael. The Beis, which is the first letter of Bereishis. The Lamed, which is the last letter of the Torah. Saviyad Rabbeinu. Number one, he mentioned what the mitzvah of Sukkah is misugal to. That the mitzvah of Sukkah specifically is misugal, number one, to protecting animals. Rabbeinu gave a whole explanation as to where human beings are yainik from, where the animals are yainik from. And if a person doesn't eat properly, we said in a previous Torah, he draws from the place where the animals are supposed to draw from. He steals their shefa and causes damage to them. Whereas if a person eats achila b'gdusha, which is symbolized by the yomtiv of Sukkah, the tikkun for taivas achila, chag hosif, then the achila of the animals are able to draw from their mokor. You don't steal their shefa at all, and they're zecha to live properly. They don't die before their right time. Then Rabbi Nizal also explained that a person who building a house generally causes damage because b'chochma yivne bayis. A house must be built with chochma. And if there's no chochma in building the house, there could be, the Gemara says, nismaskein. It leads to an oni, a pigam in chochma, ein oni ela bedas. If a person doesn't use das in building his house properly, it leads to anius. It leads to mismaskein. It leads to damage. The tikkun for it is sukkah, which is a concept of das, a concept of bina tivuna. Rabbeinu Zal quoted the pasuk, "B'chochma yivne bayis ubetivuna yiskanein ubedas chadoran yimlu." That these are the items that perfect the tikkun of building a house. Then Rabbeinu Zal said, "Excuse me, just for a second. Okay, so the mitzvah of sukkah is misukkah to helping a person build this house." Then Rabbeinu Zal added on that this is all merumas in the pasuk v'yakov nosa sukoiso va'even le'bayis, that through the mitzvah of sukkos, that's what helps to build a house. Then Rabbeinu Zal brings a remez that we see Shavuos is also a corresponding symbol to sukkos, and that Shavuos also stands for the union of bina, matan Torah, a tikkun for the bayis, the concept of aim, al titoish Torah simecha. And then Rabbeinu Zal said, this is why we see a similarity between Shavuos and Sukkos. Shavuos is the time that the Torah was presented to Bnei Israel. Sukkos is also a time when the Torah is highlighted. Because straight from the Sukkah, we go into the end of Simchas Torah, which symbolizes the Siyum HaTorah. Also a concept of an aliyah for the Torah, which is all also merumas. That's why Sivan is also merumas in this pasuk, because Sivan is the month of Matan Torah. What do you want to ask?
Then I just want to ask this letter, this word Sivan, why it's spelled like this. Is Rav Nachman Shigurin, who's ever writing the Haggadah on the bottom, are they implying that the word is a typographical
exactly.
mistake?
In other words, it seems it seems that this is a correction, that somehow this was written in this way originally, and it would seem to fit with the Rosh HaYeshiva. It's V'yakov nosa sukkos sevayivon, samach vav vav nun. But I believe it's Rav Nachman Shigur himself who corrects this and explains why that's wrong. In other words, why what was meant here was something different.
Is he saying that it could be, the word Sivan could be gotten any of two ways, or it's dafka two times?
Oh, he's saying either of two, in other words, two ways.
Oh.
We see it hinted to twice.
Twice, but there's no Sivan twice in there,
no.
Just the word Sivan.
No, we see it hinted to twice.
Also, we speak of Chachma related to building a house. Does it refer to any specific type of Chachma that's needed relating to the building, or is
for
it
that,
just general?
For that, number one, we could look in a Likutei Tefilos to see what Rav Nosson Zal davens for in this Torah, and what type of Chachma it's talking about. Besides which, we see what the Pasuk says in Mishlei. In other words, when this says, B'chachma yivin abayis, u'betuna yizkainim, u'bedaas chadarim yimru, what's Chachma? How do we define Chachma? The Torah talks about that. Ezeo Chachma ha'rayas ha'maylad. Chachma has a definition. To know what it means building a house with Chachma. That has a definition. To know, in other words, to put Chachma as Torah, it's Kedusha, Secha, all of these items, to put that into a house.
Could this all be related? I remember Michael mentioned something when we were in our show about how people have a hetter to buy a house on Bookstars. And he mentioned something like, well, what people do sometimes is they build a sukkah, they have a sukkah, and like based on that, they go ahead and buy a house on that hetter or something. I remember saying something like that.
I don't know what he was referring to.
Just in general, when we see, let's say, in our versions of the Kutim Aran, we see certain letters are highlighted or words are highlighted. Is it known if this is one of the original manuscripts that it was written, these letters were highlighted, or is it mentioned this was added on?
No, probably. That's the way it was highlighted in the original manuscripts, of course. But here again, every time you print a sefer, there are mistakes that come about. From what I heard, in our Kutim Aran, there are pieces missing from the original. I just met somebody a little while ago who mentioned to me that they have some copies, some people have copies of the original Gemara, and you see some places where the words and some of the Torahs don't fit together that well. And if you look in the other way, with the old version, you'll note that there it has this item explained, there's like one line missing that clarifies the whole thing. In some cases, not a lot, but some things. This you have to know, Bechlau, whenever you talk about printing a sefer, always mistakes, there's always certain mistakes that come out.
Yeah, sometimes the Gemara sometimes like, somebody will come and remember that it was going a little different because you must, sounds like the printers made. Yeah.
Sure, some mistakes in the printers, some mistakes in giving it over. Okay. Now Rabbi Nizal says, Torah Reish Samach Zayin. Rabbi Nizal says, Shavuos hu refua lahoreya. The emptif of Shavuos is mesugal to bringing about a refua for the lungs. It's very good for the lungs specifically. The five branches of the lungs. The Gemara says Nchulen Hey Oni Islareya. The lungs have five branches. They correspond to the five chumashim of the Torah. This is what the Tikkun Zohar says. Just as the lungs give the chius to the body, the breath of life to the body, the Torah is called Eitz Chaim Hilamachzikim Bo. So, corresponding to the five chumashim of the Torah, the lungs also have five branches. Ubishavuos mekablin haTorah, and on Shavuos we mekabel the Torah brand new every year. Therefore, yechayla mekabel chius chodosh. It's possible for a person to receive a new chius for his lungs on Shavuos. Now again, these items pay for us to know, for a person to know what to daven for on each yantif, to know that each yantif corresponds, the body was constructed in a certain way, min hashamayim. There are secrets to be found in every single part of the body. The Tikkun Ezra says, where do we see the Tzelem Elikim within a person? You'll note that the human body corresponds to Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. We see it inscribed in the human body. The head is shaped like a Yud. The trunk of the body is the fingers, the hands, have five fingers on each hand, that's the first hay. The trunk of the body is shaped like a vav. The toes are again five on each foot, corresponding to Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Tikkun Ezra shows how different parts of the body correspond to different letters in the alphabet, in the aleph bays. The nose is shaped like an aleph. It has the two nostrils and the long, the vav, in the middle. And the Tikkun Ezra shows how every single part of the body corresponds to the Torah. there are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah which correspond to the 613 parts of the body, which means that each part of the Torah relates to different parts of the body, brings about tikkunim for different parts of the body. If a person is sick in a certain aver of the body, it means he was plaguing him in a certain section of the Torah. Rabbi Nizal tells us here that the emphasis of Shavuah specifically can help the lungs, is mesugal for helping the lungs. Baruch Hashem.
So what does that mean, that a person has to pray on Shavuos?
A person could be misspot. Number one, if a person has any problem, to know that that yantar specifically is misugal to helping it, and a person should daven bechlal on Shavuos to be zarecha, that the worldly breathing functions in the body should work properly. Period. The Gemara says, a person shouldn't take these things for granted. These are things you have to daven for. So this is a time that's misugal specifically for the lungs.
This,
Of course. Okay. Rabbi Nizal brings in one place, he quotes the Tikkun Ezra, which says that the lathe is like a furnace, it's like a boiler working in the body, generating tremendous friction, beating back and forth. What's the cooling system, the air conditioner within the body? That's the lungs. Rabbi Nizal says that when a person first becomes started in religion, when a person first gets incited or aroused to being from, the person generally receives a hislav, a fire of kedusha. But that fire, Rabbi Nizal says, is very dangerous, because if you don't know how to use it properly, it could burn up, it could destroy, it could be an esh eichla. Rabbi Nizal says, therefore, what's the cooling system to control that hislav? The five chamashim of the Torah, the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are tzimtzumim that show a person how to apply his hislavos properly. You want to serve Hashem, you're burning, you're jumping, all the jumping is nothing. You have to be able to apply it in certain technical ways. Hashem presented certain mitzvahs. Each mitzvah is a tzimtzum. It's a path to coming close to Hashem. Tzitzis, if it's done properly, if you spend $3.63 on a pair of tzitzis, and it's made an exact, specific way, by putting that on your body, that has the power to bring you close to Hashem in one way. Tefillin in a different way. Each and every single mitzvah is another kesher bringing you close to Hashem.
You don't have to urge the possible for that during the year, like during the light of the yantar.
1,000,000,000%. That's the shadow.
You're
prepared. Exactly. Right. You're preparing. Number one, you're preparing for the yantif. You don't prepare the Gemara set. There's a halacha 30 days before yantif. You learn the halachas of that yantif.
Right.
What are you doing by learning the halachas? You're starting to draw the he'ora of that yantif on yourself 30 days before.
Right.
Just like Shabbos. When does the oyer of Shabbos start coming out? On Shabbos? No. On Erev Shabbos? No. Wednesday morning. Already we're starting to draw upon ourselves in some manner the Neshama Yisrael of Shabbos.
Mm-hmm. If you learn that this Yantif could give you that, you know, certain tikkun, it's possible to...
100%. A person davens that the zechus of this Yantif should help me, 100%. These are times of Kedusha that Hashem presented to Bnei Yisrael. You look in Likutei Tefilos. Those Tefilos were not necessarily the Tefilos for Yantif, were not necessarily set on that Yantif. As he was learning about the Yom Tovim, he was davening to be zeicha to feel the kedusha of each Yom Tov. Person learns Masechet Pesachim, or each Masechet that deals with Yom Tovim. Person has to daven that by learning that Masechet, it should bring upon me the oyer of this Yom Tov throughout the whole year, and especially at the time itself, the time of that Yom Tov.
Because I remember what I'm exactly saying as far as the lashon, you know, like the Tefillos, like for some months. Is that I should draw that aura, and especially at that time also.
Exactly.
So in other words, it's for the whole year.
100%. 100%. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Torah Reish Samaches. Here Rabbi Nizal says a very, very interesting item that you don't see this anywhere else, such an explanation to a concept of sickness. Rabbi Nizal says, Kishein ha'odam mistakel atachlis, when a person doesn't study, doesn't concentrate their vision on the tachlis. The tachlis means what the end is going to be, what the final bottom line of a person's life is going to be. Lomo loy chayim. What does that person need to live for? You take any rational person, really, a normal, intelligent, mature person, you go over to this person, you ask him, why did you bother getting out of bed this morning? The truth. Is it worth it to have to go through all the hassles, getting on the trains and fighting and risking your life to cross the street? and going through all the dangers and risk and worry and turbulence and fighting and competition at work and everything, is it worth it? In other words, isn't it a much easier way out to simply stay in bed and drop dead? In other words, don't bother feeding the body and pushing, going through all of this. The truth, in all honesty, if you could get a guy and sit him down and talk to him rationally like this, I think any guy could admit that the truth, it's not worth it. What's the safe? After I go to work and I get the good job, you have people who climb the ladder and then they get toppled down, they lose everything. Was it worth it? And even if you don't get toppled down, is it worth it? Is it worth going through a physical life in this world? Logically, the truth, I doubt it. In other words, personally speaking, if there weren't a Torah to live for, talk about children, having children, and healthy. Your health is so important. But important for what? When I'm healthy, I have to go to work, and I'm sick, I have an excuse to stay home, to relax. Else, you could look at everything 50 different ways. Here, Rabbi Nizal says in one sentence, G'shein hodom istakir ala tachlis lom aloi chayim. What's the purpose in living? The truth, it's just unnecessary, and it brings more bad than good. There's more headaches living than dying. Dying is much easier, much more comfortable. With all this talk about the worms in the grave and everything, it's probably more comfortable than having to look at the blacks that walking around and all the other garbage you have to see around here. Going through a physical life, it's probably much more convenient just lying peacefully dead, period. Rabbi Nizal says, but if a person has Torah, if a person has an Olam Haba to look forward to, in other words, there's a reason to compete, there's a reason to live, because if I try, if I make every effort in the world to serve Hashem, even if I fail and I get wiped out completely, there isn't a single effort that I put in this world to coming close to Hashem that's going to go lost. Every single Ratzon Tov is going to be saved. Then it's worth it. Once I know there's something like that, then it's worth working and sleeping and eating and throwing up and getting sick and going through all the aggravation and headache and disgust in this world. It's worth it. Then there's no need to commit suicide. Take away the Torah, take away the purpose, in other words, the tachlis, much, much easier to jump off a roof. It's 2 seconds of aggravation or of pain. Whereas you get a guy going through his normal cycle, he comes home, he's got to fight with his wife. Gets on the train, he's got to fight to get a seat. Gets to work, fighting with his boss, or fighting with the guy who's trying to undermine his job, or fighting to get a raise. Constant, the whole life is a fight, one big battle, unnecessarily. Rabbi Nizal says, Vehine. Rabbi Nizal says, "Vehine hanefesh misgagas tomid lasos ritzayin yitzra." A person's nefesh, the neshama within a person, is constantly yearning to do the will of Hashem. Ukisheroye she'ein hodam oisir ritzayin yisbara chas v'shalom. And when the nefesh within the person, when the neshama within a person sees that the person is not abiding by the will of Hashem, azai he misgaga ma'oid lasar l'sharosha. The neshama says, what do I need this hassle for? What do I have to hang around in this sewer, in this body that I was put into that's behaving like a sewer? What do I need it for? I'd much rather be where I started out, in the kisei hakavod, without this hunk of garbage all around me. Rabbi Nizal says, and what happens is, umascheles lahamshich atzmo lehistalek miguf hodom. What happens is, the neshama actually begins to draw itself, to pull itself out of the goof, to try to escape. Umize nechle ha'odom. This is what causes a person to get sick many times. Al yidei shenechlash koyach ha'nefesh, through the weakening of the koyach, of the spiritual part of the body. Al yidei shemamshech es atzmo mimenu, machmas she'eno imemala ritzoino. Because of the fact that the neshama is trying to pull out of the body, because it's not satisfied with the fact that the body is not conforming with the will of Hashem, that's what causes the person to experience a weakness. Note, the Gemara says, "Ein yisurim b'layovim," that sickness comes because of sins. As a person is committing sins, the neshama starts getting fed up. What am I sticking around here? Let me pull out. Let me go out. And this is how a person gets sick. As the neshama tries to start pulling out, the body begins to weaken. all the koichos within the body are not physical. A person dies, the meat is there, the bones, the blood, everything, and it can't move. All the chushim and everything are gone. Why? Because these things come from the neshama. So when the neshama sees that the body is not acting properly, that the person is not acting properly, the neshama gets the urge to start pulling out, and this is what causes a person to get sick. Now Rabbi Nizal says, we have a question. How is it sometimes that we see a person actually get sick, some type of a serious illness, and a person takes medicine, and it seems sometimes like the medicine actually plays a part in helping the person get better? Why? How does this work in a spiritual sense? What could this medicine possibly do if we say, the Gemara says, Ein Yisurin B'Layovayin, if the sickness came Machmas Ruchnius, then how can any physical item battle that? Rabbi Nizal explains a secret behind this. Rabbi Nizal says, Uma she'odom chayzer lebriyusoy al yedei refuais. This that we see sometimes, that a person begins to get healthy via the use of medicines, medication. Humachmas, the reason is this, Rabbi Nizal explains, Humachmas she'hanefesh roye she'zeh ho'odom yochel lochuf atzmoy la'asoyz hefech ta'avosoy or gilosoy. The neshama sees that this zhlub that it was dealing with till now, that seemed to have no control over himself, whatever he liked, whatever the body liked, it did. Whether it was right or not, whether it was against the will of Hashem, it came to eating, there's a certain amount that's proper to eat, there's a certain amount that's maisrois, that's extra that you're not allowed to eat, that's treif, it brings about sickness and everything. The neshama sees that the body is just running rampant, going nuts, doing whatever it wants, that free attitude, a loose attitude. The neshama says, get me out of here, period, and starts pulling out, the person gets sick. Now, when a doctor prescribes a medicine, and usually these medicines don't taste good, usually bechlal, medication throughout history, was usually known to be a bitter type of item. Even now, with all the sweeteners that they're putting in, usually people still don't like the taste of it. So Rabbi Nachman says, the neshama sees, look, this zhlub is capable, when he wants, of going against his normal desire, of doing something that he doesn't like to do that much, eating something that he doesn't like to. Why? Because he was told that this will help him, this will benefit him. Ki hu murgol ba'achilas lechem v'shar ma'acholim. Because the person is used to eating bread or cake or all kinds of delicious foods. And now this person forces himself. He restrains his taiva, he contains his taiva. And the person actually takes into his body bitter medicines because of his health, because he's told that this is going to help his health. Because the nefesh sees now that this person is capable, when he's made sane for a few minutes, somebody grabs him and tells him he's dying, and tells him if he doesn't control himself and take this item, although he doesn't taste physically good, it doesn't fit with his taivos and everything, if he doesn't do it, he's going to die, and the nefesh sees that this person is willing to go ahead and do it for a purpose, Alkein he choizere seilov. That's why the neshama sometimes recedes back into the body because of physical medicine. Because the person took a physical medication, the neshama actually gives the person a second chance. Why? Because the neshama hopes, the nefesh hopes, that this person, once he's proven that he's capable of containing himself for a physical tachlis, when his physical health depended on it, the neshama hopes that maybe this zhlub will now behave himself and learn to contain himself properly for the tachlis ho'amiti, which is la'asos ritzon yetzrei yisborach, which is to fulfill the will of Hashem. So now Rabbi Nizal explains a psychology, how it's possible beruchnis for the neshama, in other words, this concept of a person getting sick has to do with the neshama, how could physical medication help sometimes? The answer is in this manner, because the neshama sees that when a person gets sick, he's capable of throwing away all the taivas. When a person's sick, you can show him fancy cream cake, it looks disgusting to him and everything. Why? Rabbi Nizal says, because when a person's sick, he's one step closer to Olam Haba. When a person dies, he has no taivas at all. A person gets sick, it means the neshama starts pulling out, he's no more totally, he doesn't have both feet on this world, he's got one foot on the next world. So suddenly all the tivoys don't seem as pleasant and tasty and delicious as they were before. Then when he goes one step further and he shows that he's willing to take bitter medicine to help the body, then Hashem says, maybe I'll give him a second chance. Maybe he's capable of learning a lesson from this. He sees that the body could get damaged very, very much. And what fixes the body is the weakening, the easing up on the tivoys, the living bitterly. Maybe this person will accept this manner of life throughout life, to know that this world is not a playground, it's not a circus, it's not a funhouse. That in this world, the best etzah for a person is histapkus, as little gashmis as possible, as little achila as possible, as little taiva as possible, everything restricted to keep the gashmis down and the ruchmis up. When the nefesh sees that the person is willing to do this to a little degree when he gets sick, this is what causes the nefesh sometimes to pull back and give the person another chance.
Isn't it sometimes, let's say children get sick, what is that concept of a person getting his own self?
The answer is, number one, there are times when a child could have done something wrong that warranted a penalty. There are times when children get punished for what the parents do. The Gemara says certain cases. If a parent does something, the result is that chas v'shalom the children pass away, the children get sick, certain things. And also a child could have done something in a previous gilgal that causes that when a child is born with defects or different things, chas v'shalom, different problems in this gilgal that don't relate to this gilgal at all. It's because of things that were done in the past.
What about the famous guarantee that the Rambam gives in how a person can preserve his health? Basically in physical ways, unless there's some catastrophe happens,
right,
and there's a prescription for it.
Right.
So that it seems not to pertain towards the spiritual realm.
Why not? The answer is again, but in other words, this Torah would seem to explain how it's possible for something like that to be applied. The answer is if a person shows that he's willing to conform with a certain rigid schedule. In other words, the Rambam prescribes fasting one day a week, certain other things, where the person shows that he is willing to contain his taiva to a degree, that's what causes the neshama to be willing to stick around, as long as it's supposed to. In other words, where the person doesn't die before his time or anything like that. You understand? It's because the person shows that they're willing to conform, they're willing not to overeat, in other words, not to have this loose manner of living according to taiva.
So how does
Rishoyim, like,
keep them getting sick?
The Gemara gives many, many explanations. Number one, a lot of times that Rosha could have done one good thing in his life, and because of that, Hashem wants to give him as much reward in this world, so that the next world should be only tzav for him. From escaping. Oh, the answer is the command of Hashem. The command of Hashem, very simple. Rabbi Zal said that many, many times we have a situation where Neshama is trapped within a person, and the person doesn't even hear the screams of the Neshama screaming, wanting to get out, because the person is committing sins. Each time a person does that, he's killing. There's a person inside him, he's killing. There's an akuda tov inside that he's squelching.
Definitely.
The tendency of this item is a pure item. In other words, a person is made up of chaymer and surah, guf and nefesh. The guf leans more towards gashmias, the nefesh leans more towards ruchnias. When the nefesh sees that the guf is pushing it around too much, that the guf is trying to control this whole unit, that's when the nefesh tries to pull out, if it's at all possible for it to. Unless there's certain overriding circumstances where Hashem says, I don't want him sick now, let him have a good time now, let him be healthy now, we'll get him later. Chas v'shalom.
Is the nefesh when the
Excuse me?
When we talk about nefesh, was up as in the
right?
When we do it,
The Gemara says that Lassid Lavai, the Gemara says in Chagiga, that Lassid Lavai, when it's going to come the time for a person to be judged, each one is going to say, it wasn't my fault. The Nefesh is going to say, what, I did a sin? Is that Jilav that you put me with? He was the one who was running. I didn't want to do any sins. Hashem is going to say, okay, Guf, come here. You're the one who did the sins. Guf is going to say, what, I committed a sin? What, look at me. Am I committing any sins now? The only way I was able to commit a sin was if the nefesh was inside of me. A dead person, a body, can't commit any sins. It's only when it's alive, when it has the Ruach HaChaim in it. So the Gemara says, then Hashem is going to take them both and put them together and say you're both guilty.
It's both.
It's both.
No.
Here we're not talking in those terms. We're talking about two divisions. In other words, we're not talking about the technical term nefesh, ruach, neshama. Here we're talking about the ruchnis and the gashmis within a person. Those two divisions. Right.
So
when any person passes away.
Right. So it's the same. Right there in Gan Eden, the nefesh and the ruach is being judged.
Definitely. This is what the Gemara says.
Should this be, let's say, the thought of a person before he takes medicine? But sometimes you get people in the habit of just constantly taking medicine, you know, for any little thing, whatever. Should this be a thought, you know, that I'm taking this medicine, you know, that I'm controlling, I'm doing something against my nature?
The answer is 1,000,000,000%. In other words, here, Rabbeinu Zal is giving you a little better insight, some seichel, to know what you're doing. As to know, how could I ever dream that this thing is going to help? What's this piece of turpentine, or whatever they put into these bottles that cost $12? How could that fix something that was brought about through Ruchnis or even Gashmis? But this thing, like Rabbi Zal used to joke, this thing has an address. I have an infection in my toe. They give me this thing, and it's got an address. It's got a beeper on it that knows to travel through my bloodstream and affect my toe. And usually even the doctors admit to you that 90% of these things, even if it does get to the toe, on the way it causes your fingers to fall off, your hair to start coming out, 50 other problems. So how could I ever dream of this thing being able to help me? The answer is here we have a kavona. Rabbeinu gives you a kavona to know when you're sick, what's happening. It's a time for your fash fesh b'masal. It's a time for a person to think over what he's done wrong and to think over what the tachlis is in life. Usually you see a person when he's about to pass away, when a person gets older, much older, and when they get the feeling that they're getting sick for the last time, you see that the person begins to think so seriously. In terms of tachlis, they forget all the nonsense, the cars, the money. They begin to think more seriously. A person is supposed to do this any time a person gets any kind of illness. It's a reminder, a warning, that Hashem is doing you a favor in a sense. Suddenly you got all the garbage turned off for a day or two. You see that this day, if they offer you cake, or if they offer you any kind of taiva, something that was so appetizing to you before, when you're sick, the whole thing is zero. It's not tempting at all. So you know, number one, that it is within your power to achieve such a level, even when you're healthy, to achieve a madrega, to work on your neshama to the extent, to make the neshama king of the body, whereby even when you're healthy, these tithes should be totally controlled, number one. And number two, as a reminder that you're actually being punished. Hashem is showing you that, look, the neshama wants to leave because you did this. Now, by exercising control, especially when you're sick, avoiding any silliness and sticking totally to ruchnius as much as possible, that even the food that you eat when you're sick is like a ruchnius sticker kind of food, that's what's going to help you get better. By showing that you're not eating food like you were doing tana for taiva, you're eating food for tachlis. That's the wording Rabbeinu Zal uses here. Till now I was eating, why? Because it smelled good, because it looked good. Now I'm eating the medicine, doesn't smell good, doesn't look good. I'm eating because I know the body needs this. From this, I'm going to learn that when I get healthy, when I eat the potatoes or this, that, I'm also going to eat it simply for the purpose of keeping the body going.
Want to stop you from preventing, like sometimes you do want to stop from taking medicine, you want to push off from making it.
Right.
So this is sort of, if you want to take medicine.
No, baloney. In other words, this is just saying that if those few rare times when you have to take medicine, you should know that this is how there's a concept that it could help. But we know the chalal, for physical reasons and for spiritual reasons, a person should avoid being a medicaholic, you know, going in for medicine a lot. The Zohar Kodesh says, Rabbi Zal said, Rav Nosson Zal, right before he passed away, he mentioned this item, that the Zohar Kodesh says that a person is in the habit of taking a lot of medicines. When a person passes away, there's a special malach that takes a big rod, smashes him on his stomach, rips open his stomach, and beats out all the medication that the person took his whole life. He literally beats it out of him. That's the expression the Zohar Kodesh uses. That's how bad it is to get into the habit of going in for a lot of medicines. The Gemara praises one of the big tzaddikim. Who? Chizkiyahu HaMelech. What was one of his big accomplishments? He hid the book of medicines. So people should not depend on this. People shouldn't think, sick, grab the bop, that's going to help me. Baloney, sick, grab the tehillim. Sick is a reminder that you did sin. It's a reminder, stop, think. Throw away the gashmias, no going to work when you're sick. When you're healthy, you're running, big shot, going to conquer the world, gets on the train every morning, he's going to become the next millionaire, the world's next lottery winner. you get sick, the lottery is gone, everything is gone. Just sit quietly and learn and daven. In other words, the whole Olam HaGashmi can't tempt you. You're not into it anymore. You're taken out of it. You're given a break, a Shabbos for a day or two, as a reminder. So the general attitude should be to avoid medicine as much as possible. When certain illnesses come where you know you're supposed to take medicine, headaches, certain other things where you know that this thing is known to help and it's known not to do too much damage, etc., etc., you take it, and then also you take it with the right kavana. The Arizal says also, note, it's a good time to mention this, the Arizal says that on the Yom Tov of Pesach, when a person eats the maror, if a person eats the maror with the proper avas Hashem, in other words, a person kisses the maror, the Arizal says a person makes the bracha, alachidas maror, and before he eats it, he should kiss it, to show a love for eating something bitter for the kavod of Hashem, because Hashem said to do it. The Arizal said a person could draw into that maror all the medicines that he would have to take a whole year. That could save a person from having to take any medication throughout the whole year. So note again, it's this concept of bitterness. The fact that he shows that he's willing to accept the bitterness, Laman Hashem, that could prevent him from sickness.
So specifically, just in that issue, sees that he's conquers his taiva by taking this bitter thing. And why can't he just take any bitter thing? Why specifically has to be met? Why can't just any bitter thing supposedly fix him up, get him to, you know?
The answer is because physically certain bitter things can hurt. Especially when a person's body is weak, you start eating onions, which are bitter, it can kill you, Chas v'Shalom. That was Rabbeinu Zal saying, this is where the concept, how did this concept come into the world? Let's go back 5,000 years or 4,000 years. This concept of medicine, this concept of bitter herbs, how did that whole thing come about? Rabbeinu Zal, this Torah gives you a little background information to understand what the seed behind it is, why you get sick, what happens when you get sick, and how this item could sort of draw the neshama back, convince the neshama to give the goof another chance.
So there's a mention somewhere else, I think also related to this, that, I don't know if it says the only reason there, or another reason is they'll take, sometimes medicines work, is that because it's just time, they have an illness ends, and it looks like the person, like it's the medicine that's working.
Also true.
It's just another...
Exactly. In other words, these are different things to know about. There's billions of different illnesses, and there's billions of times that people, different people that get sick. By this one, it could be because of a sin. By this one, it could be because he went out in the freezing cold when he wasn't supposed to. There's different things. Each one, it relates to differently. Here, Rabbeinu Zal gives the explanation for one aspect related to sickness.
When that's caused by Rivoi Shemen, whereas like the Chofetz Chaim, he learned very hard and became very sick, and wasn't able to learn for you. So what happens then? The Shemen also tries to leave it?
The answer is there again. It's a situation whereby the Rabbeinu Zal said that one of the reasons why he had to pass away when he was so young was because the neshama was going so fast that the guf couldn't keep up with it, in a sense. So that the neshama had to leave the guf at a certain point simply because they couldn't stay together. The guf wasn't capable. The pasuk says, Mibzori Echzelika, that what's a tzaddik? A tzaddik is one who's able to bring together the neshama and the guf. To be able to elevate the guf to a madrega where the guf is zecher to experience that which the neshama enjoys. That when this person learns Torah, it's not a chore, he actually enjoys it. There's a simcha in his feet, in his hands, there's a tingling, there's a happy, pleasant feeling. He's willing to dance. But if he was zecher to sit and learn for an hour or do any kind of mitzvah, it brings such a simcha that even the guf experiences a hanoah from an item of kedusha. But there are times when the two are competing and it's hard to get them together. So sometimes when a person puts too much stress on the goof, sometimes again the goof is fighting. Because the goof is gashmi, the goof is fighting to hold on to its thing. And if you don't go slowly enough, bedaga enough, the goof gets lost. It can't keep up at a certain point and it breaks down. There's a breakdown in the system. This is why the Torah warns tremendously to be careful. Rabbeinu Zal said that this was a lesson that he learned when he got older, that he imparted this to him. Watch your goof. You need the goof tremendously to serve Hashem. Be careful with it. See to it to exercise, to keep the goof in shape. See to it to eat the right, not to eat wrong. In other words, not to sleep the wrong way. Rabbeinu Zal said, Eschon Shloft nor heat it sound. Eat properly, drink properly, don't go in for a lot of fasting, because Rabbeinu Zal gave advice that could work 50 times as fast as fasting. Rabbeinu Zal said his spirit is a person who speaks to Hashem for an hour a day in his own language, that could do what a week's fasting could do. But on the other hand, if you keep the body in check, keep it proper, it could support the neshama as far as the neshama wants to go.
Things like headaches.
right?
Is that something you should take aspirin or something you better?
Depends how good. Depends how good. Each person has to judge for themselves. Each person has to see in their own body how much it holds them up from avodah and how much it actually helps. If they see that this item actually helps them, that's it.
Mm-hmm. They should try to hold back to what
you definitely. Definitely. Within norm. Especially since they find that all of these things become habitual, number one. Number two, the body gets used to it, whereby it can't. And sometimes these things, if you take it in small doses, it can help the body a lot. As you increase the dosage, it takes much, much more to be able to cure you. Even this, these are things that even the doctors are made there, that the less the better. Anytime it comes to these things, the less the better. The more you hold back, the better off you are. Rabbeinu Zal says, Tero Reish Samach Tes. Rabbeinu Zal says, Midiras Hatzadik, Nikor Maisa Hadoyer. From the home of the tzaddik, a person can tell about the actions of a generation, about the Welt, how the Jewish world is doing. Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'simin l'davar," we find a remez to this in the Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara says on the pasuk which talks about Devaira. Devaira Hanaviyah was one of the leading tzidkoniyos in her generation. She was an actual shofet of Klal Yisrael. And the pasuk says, "V'hi yosheves tachas toimer." She sat under a, what's toimer? A palm tree. So the V'amar Chazal, the Gemara says in Megillah, there are two reasons. One opinion is the reason why she sat there was to avoid yichud. To avoid yichud, people would come to her with judgments. Men would come to her to ask her shailas. If she was in a room, in a house, there could be a shaila of yichud. Therefore, she sat specifically outside under a tree to avoid any question of yichud. The Gemara says, another reason is, why does the pasuk point this out to us, that she sat under the tamar? The Gemara says, ma tamar, ein lei ela lev echad, just like a tamar only has one main heart. In other words, usually other trees, the trunk of the tree is a very important item, but the branches also have a chiyus of their own. There are actually solid branches that emanate from the tree, that explode from the tree, and they have a chiyus. They support their own forms of life. There are leaves that grow on the actual branches, so the branch is an entity on its own. Whereas the palm tree is one huge, tremendous trunk. It's only on top that you have some psalis, some garbage, the lulavim, and the fruit on top, but the tree itself is actually one big trunk. All the sap that's within the tree, in other trees you have sap in the branches and everything. Here, all the sap is contained within that one huge trunk. So the Gemara starshins, ma tamar ein lai elolei vechod, af Yisrael came. Just like the Tamar only has one heart, so too Bnei Yisrael, the Yidden who came to her at that time to be judged, also were Bnei Vechon. They were united, they had this one heart. So Rabbeinu Zal says, note here, this was her place. The Pasuk says, V'hi yosheves tachas toimer. This was, in a sense, her dira. And the Torah says that by looking at this tree, you were able to tell the status of Klal Yisrael at that time, that there was achdus among them. So Rabbeinu Zal says, we see a remez here that bechlal, whenever we talk about the house that a tzaddik lives in, if a person has good eyes, no, this obviously doesn't pertain to people like us. A tzaddik, or one who's a big Talmud Chacham, who knows a lot of Torah, would be able to tell by seeing certain things in the dira of a tzaddik, he would be able to tell the status of Klal Yisrael, how they are. Are they ba'achdus, b'sholim, what's missing, what has to be corrected? All of these things could be told from the dira of the tzaddik. Torah Reish Ayin. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Kemoi sheyesh his eirus me'adam l'chaveiroi," just as many, many times when it comes to religion, a person can be aroused by his friend. A person is davening in shul, and he sees a person davening next to him, and this person happens to be in a fiery mood. Every person has times that are good, times that are not so good. One person, one Friday night, he's in a very lively mood, he can daven with tremendous simcha. The next Friday night, he doesn't feel it that much. There are ups and downs, bichlal. So Rabbeinu Zal says, just as a person a lot of times can receive his hisayrus from his friend, when he sees another person saying bakoshes or slichos with his hisayrus, with a broken heart, azay chaveroi misayrur menu gamken. Then sometimes, now a person watching him could react one of two ways. either he's jealous, a bad kind of jealousy, where he starts saying to himself, the guy's probably a faker, a phony, number one. In other words, to make up for his own deficiencies, he figures he'll put down the other person. He'll try to convince himself that the other person's a phony, or he'll just get jealous and he'll react. He'll say, because, you know, look at this guy, he's dying so good, I don't feel anything, the whole religion, the person, chas v'shalom, throw away the whole thing, because he sees somebody else is better than him. Whereas sometimes a person has a good kinah, they see another person davening better than them, and that pushes them, I'm going to push a little harder, I'm not just going to sit back and daven relax. If I see this person is davening with power, I'm going to try to put a little power into it also. And sometimes by pushing a little, giving a little extra physical push, you see that suddenly you do feel a hislavus, you do feel a chias come, and this was initiated by watching somebody else daven good, by watching somebody else do a mitzvah with a hislavus. Rabbi Nezal says, ki misoyer mechaveroi, because the person gets aroused from his friend, o maschil lehistakel al atzmo, and the person begins to look at himself, v'nisoyer gamkein, and he also becomes aroused, o maschil leimar gamkein, bakoshois behisoyer salev, and he also begins to say tefilois bakoshois with a feeling of arousal. Rabbi Nezal says, just as this feeling could be transferred from one person to the next, so too, kamoikein yesh eitzel ha'odom atzmoi his erus minei ubei. Rabbi Nezal says, so too a person can sometimes get aroused from within himself. How? Dahainu she'oimer bakosho yisutchino yis behisoyrus. A person's davening, and he davens with power. V'tsoyek, and he screams to Hashem, vaili, woe is to me, I feel so bad that I'm not religious, I'm not davening well enough, I'm not learning enough, I'm not doing mitzvahs enough. And while he's saying these words, nis'ir mizeh, he becomes aroused through this, umaschil hestakel al atzmo, and he begins to really look inside of himself, hey chonani, where am I? Umitzoyekach, who's saying these words? Haloi vai li mamish. In other words, I'm talking about myself, my own situation. Umaschil shenis. Litzoik vaili li daika, and the person now starts davening a second time, saying vaili li daika, me, I'm talking about myself. Va'af shebetchilo nidmaloi kilu gamkein oimer be'emes koroi. Although in the beginning, when he first started out davening, he thought that this was real davening, that he was davening the right way, and he was davening and everything. Im kol zeh achar kach royin ha'hefrish bein kodem la'achar kein. Afterwards, once a person has an experience like this that Rabbi Nezal describes here, that's when you begin to see the difference between davening and davening. V'hovein, Rabbi Nezal says, understand this very well. Now, what is he talking about here? He's talking here about real kavona. In other words, picture what a rachmonis it is on us zhlubs. You have a situation that we're given shachris, mincha, and mariv. Why were these things invented? Because the Chachamim saw, the Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchas Tefillah, that this isn't the Ikar Tefillah. The Ikar Tefillah, as it was in the olden days, was that each and every single person, each and every farmer and tailor and baker, used to spend 2, 3, 4, 5 hours a day speaking to Hashem, in his own words, thanking Hashem, praising Hashem, making up his own Shevachim of Hashem, and making his own list of thousands of bakoshos for himself, for his daughter, for his wife, for his neighbors, davening for the whole city and everything. The Rambam himself says that when Anshei Knesset HaGedolah saw that people were getting weaker, and if they didn't set up a shedra, a backbone, a crutch for the Yidden to lean on, the Yidden would forget the whole umness of tefillah completely. So they set up a prototype. They set up, the Chachamim invented a prototype for tefillah. They took these tefillahs, which Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov originally were misakein, and they made those into halacha, that a Yid is required to say these tefillahs every single day. Why? So that you would be in the habit, not of davening, but of learning about davening. By saying shachris, you look at shachris. How does shachris work? It's constructed a certain way. It's a combination of shvachai shel makom. Each tefillah is a combination of praising Hashem and then asking what you need. You look at a Shemayin Esrei, you analyze it. The first three brachos are just praising Hashem. The last three brachos are praising Hashem. In the middle, you have a list of bakoshos. This should help you in constructing your own tefillahs. so that each and every single day you spend an hour or two or three on your own speaking to Hashem, you have a yesod, a foundation to build on from these tefillos which the Chachamim were misaking. So that's one item. Then Rabbein Azal said another item, you should know there's a tremendous difference between your own tefillah and Shacharis Mincha Ma'arav. Shacharis Mincha Ma'arav, because you get used to saying the words sometimes, that's why the sota makes it difficult to have kavana, because the lips just move by themselves. In other words, your head is thinking about the Knick game, or about soccer, or about your house, or about your wife, what's for supper, and the lips just the whole thing goes by itself. You don't have that much kavana. Whereas when you're forced to construct your own tefillah, you note that usually, the fact that you're the one making up the words, usually that helps you concentrate much more. You're forced to concentrate. Shacharis, you look at Shacharis. How does Shacharis work? It's constructed a certain way. It's a combination of Shvachai Shalmakim. Each tefillah is a combination of praising Hashem and then asking what you need. You look at a Shemayin Esrei, you analyze it. The first three brachos are just praising Hashem. The last three brachos are praising Hashem. In the middle, you have a list of bakoshas. This should help you in constructing your own tefillahs, so that each and every single day you spend an hour or two or three on your own speaking to Hashem, you have a yesod, a foundation to build on from these tefillahs which the Chachamim were misaking. So that's one item. Then Rabbein Azal said another item, you should know there's a tremendous difference between your own tefillah and Shacharis Mincha Ma'arav. Shacharis Mincha Ma'arav, because you get used to saying the words sometimes, that's why the sota makes it difficult to have kavana, because the lips just move by themselves. In other words, your head is thinking about the Knick game, or about soccer, or about your house, or about your wife, what's for supper, and the lips just, the whole thing goes by itself. You don't have that much kavana. Whereas when you're forced to construct your own tefillah, you note that usually, the fact that you're the one making up the words, usually that helps you concentrate much more. You're forced to concentrate.